Leaders and healers, gamers and claimers, ladies and gentlemen from around the universe, from around the globe, from around the community, welcome to the Power, Purpose, and Passion Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Cheam, speaker, life coach, author, trainer, musician, singer, songwriter, ready to give to you the best of what I've earned, the best of what I've learned, the best of what I've learned, and the best of what I'm about to return to you on this podcast live in various avenues and various delivery systems to give to you, from books to seminars to podcasts to just loving life by giving it away, giving you the core of everything I know, from every breath I take, from every thought I think, from every feeling that I feel, from the emotions that I feel. I just want to give as much as I can to this world, because this is what this podcast is about, by helping you claim your power, clarify your purpose, cultivate your deepest, widest, and highest passions possible, ultimately, so you can grow, you can upgrade, you can update, and become the most grandest, beautiful, enhanced version of yourself, continually upgrading, and ultimately, inspiring others to do the exact same. And together we live an awesome, fulfilling, and beautiful life. So thank you for joining us. Today's discussion, Cameron, we were on the podcast yesterday, right before the podcast yesterday, and we were discussing a few things, and he was kind of in a zone about life, and we just got in this discussion. He even suggested maybe we could have a podcast about this. And hey, what better time than do it right now? So let's just jump right into it, guys. And for the people out there, if you're new to this, thank you for joining. For people that can get this on iTunes, please, we would love your feedback and a 5-star rating if you truly believe that it is. We'd love that comment and a 5-star rating on the show. So thank you, Cameron. I'll turn it over to you, my friend. What's up, man?
Hello, Anthony. So recently, I have been, like you said, contemplating a lot. And mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it all began when I had sort of a shift in mindset where I started looking at things differently and also just trying to get the best out of life, learn the most out of life, because things happen each day and it's up to you whether or not to make that a valuable experience or just a random sort of like wasteful, mm-hmm. I guess, experience, whatever. Yeah. And over the weekend, I just had a lot of shifts in my thinking. First of all, I want to know your take on how you built your sort of career, your sort of like way of distributing your purpose, essentially the way that you go about living your life on purpose by yourself. I'm sure you may have had help along the way, but it's Anthony Cheam. It's not anything else. And for myself, I've been sort of building, you can call it career, it's more or less just like purpose projects, if that makes sense.
Yes, good. Like I like
little
that. I like
little
that.
Pieces of stuff that inspires me, that feels good, that feels like I'm expressing myself. So whether that be a band or a company or a movie or a YouTube channel or a podcast or whatever, you know.
Sure.
And I've done a lot of that, and it's always usually been with people. Now I'm doing this podcasting thing by myself, and I'm just curious how you went about doing that by yourself, and not, I don't know if you had anybody around you who was sort of pushing you to become better, but I feel like I'm pushing against the grain of everybody that's around me. And you know, like we've spoken about this, it's a lot easier to go with the grain of the crowd. It is a lot easier. And so if your crowd pushes you upwards, if the current is going up, then that's great. If the current is going in a direction, not down, not necessarily down, but a direction that takes you further away from purpose. Because I think people are perfectly fine if they just chill and they don't do much. Or people are perfectly fine if they play video games all day. It's your life. But for me, when it comes to my purpose, it's more focusing on what will bring me closer to expressing myself, which that is my words, my music, and also wanting to see things and experience things and meet people and connect, right? Mm-hmm, so anything that takes me further away from that, I consider down. So
okay.
Yeah, good. So how do you Yeah, I'm sure you already have lots to say, so go ahead.
Well, you know, I can appreciate what you're saying because I went through that too, where I thought, am I in this journey by myself? I mean, my speaking career, my coaching career, my training career, my authoring career. It's interesting. I give the example of me writing my first book, and I really had no intention of wanting to sell a ton. I didn't really care about that. I just wanted to say, hey, you know, I failed English in high school. I think more than once. I think it was twice, actually. I think my teacher actually gave me a passing grade because she felt sorry for me, but I really failed, really, let's face it. But the point is that along the way, when I was writing my book, it took me a good 18 months to write my first book, and I wasn't thinking about the outcome of finishing the book and getting it published. I was enjoying the journey. As they say, the journey's the destination. I was enjoying each chapter, each word, each sentence, each paragraph. I wasn't caring. I was literally writing for the wastebasket. And when I finished, I literally had about 155,000 words, and I didn't care whether it was too much or too little. The fact that I completed a book and then I finally got it edited. And then after I finished it, I was like, okay, so I have no idea how to publish this. I mean, I could learn it, or maybe I could just go send it to whatever publishing company. And the universe aligned, and one of my mentors, Rod, I put on my Facebook or some social media thing, and I said, I just finished my book. I'm very proud of it. Now it's on to the next steps of getting it published. And he reached out to me, and I hadn't heard from him in a long time, I'd say a couple of years. And he mentored me when I first started my journey in the self-help world back when I was in my early 20s. And 2 years passed, I hadn't really talked to him that much. And then when he saw that, he reached out to me, he's like, Anthony, I have my own publishing company. Let me help you publish your book. And it was like the universe aligned. So there's always people helping you along the way, aligning with you. I believe if you align with your purpose, the right opportunities show up, the right people show up. As far as living out your dharma, living out your purpose with total congruency, to be quite honest, I took the Wayne Dyer approach. He inspired me so much listening to his story about you know, getting, you know, tenure at the age of 37 at St. John's University, I think it was, and he said no to it. And the people were like, what? You're saying no to tenure? Like, that means you have full-time employment for the rest of it? He's like, no, this isn't my dharma. And then he wrote his book, and he bought his own books from his own publishing company, and he traveled around the United States talking about what he was passionate about. And so his whole thing was just give away as much as you can. If you're passionate about something, give it all away. Share it with as many people as you could. And literally, that's all I started doing. I shared it with people on the street. I shared it with people. Before I was even an author, I'd tell people I was an author. Before I was even a speaker, like a legitimate speaker, I would tell people I was a speaker. You know, I was like, literally, you gotta literally fake it until you make it. And I spoke with confidence. I spoke with congruency because I was speaking from a level of, this is what I was meant to do. This is why God has put me on this planet for, to speak my truth, to live this dream, to live it out now. And I used many of the peak performance techniques and the spiritual techniques to advance myself and enhance myself. And as Jim Rohn says, I worked harder on myself than I did my job. And as Jim Rohn says, he talks about how work harder on yourself than you do your job, because here's the issue. If you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you build a fortune. You build a fortune in terms of money, career, opportunities, love, relationships, the whole gamut of life. And yes, I did have a lot of help along the way. But more than anything, I think the people listening to this, and I'm sure, and I know you have this, Cam, hunger, that hunger to want to just express yourself. You talk about self-expression. That was big for me. It's not really about expressing myself anymore. It's literally about giving myself to the world, of course, expressing myself to the world, not because for any egoic reasons necessarily, but expressing myself to a point where I feel like I'm self-actualizing into the highest version of myself so I can raise the vibrations of every person, every sentient being that I'm in contact with. That just even the presence that's within me, not me, my skin, not my Anthony's body, but the love, the divinity that is transforming me, I want to share that. And I do. I want to do that with this podcast. I want to do that with my speaking. I want to do that with my music. I can relate to you with that as well. I want to do that with the interactions, everyday interactions with my family. And I have to admit, there are times where I have to kind of gotta pinch myself and go, wow, I'm really living a powerful, fulfilling life. And I have to kind of just kind of click my heels three times like Dorothy, right? And go, am I still in Kansas, right? And kind of go, wow, am I really doing what I'm doing? And am I doing it for a living? And am I actually getting paid for this? Because I don't see this as work. I feel like that when you do what you love, it's never work for you. And it never really has been. You know, it's been tough at times where, you know, all of a sudden four clients would all of a sudden just stop seeing me. And I'm like, whoa, and that's a blow to my business, of course, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I go into a fear and scarcity mode. And then without addressing the fear, I would get scarce. And then I would make bad decisions from a fear mode. And then I would have to kind of shift upwards and go address the fear accordingly, and then move up and say, you know what? Other doors are going to open. And that became my mantra. And then I would shift my mind to, this is the end of a chapter, to this is going to be a beginning of a new chapter, a new phase of life. And I've used those techniques in my life, in my business, my personal life. And I have to share. And I think this is very important. I shared this with you a few days ago, I think, Cam, about how I think I've told this before on this podcast about me having to go through seasonal affective disorder. And for the many people that get that, they might get like sort of the winter blues, but I get it in pretty severely to the point where it completely debilitates me physically, mentally, emotionally, where it's like, I know what it feels like to be severely depressed, where you wake up after 7-8 hours of sleep and your body feels achy. You feel like there's this weight inside you. You have thoughts of hopelessness and worthlessness. Thoughts that my life would be better if I just ended it, literally. And that's not me, but like, that's not who I want to be, but that is an experience that I dive into. And I have to be able to navigate myself through those times. I mean, last week I had a few days where I had a rough time because it was very dark and dreary. And for the people that don't know about seasonal affective disorder, you know, your melatonin, when there's not a lot of sun, melatonin gets secreted in your body more, so it makes you tired. And there's not a lot of serotonin, which is the happy emotional, you know, chemical. And then on top of that, your circadian rhythms get all screwed up. And then you just feel like, I know what it feels like to feel like, oh my gosh, I can't think straight, I can't concentrate. But what gives me that sort of, how it gets me out of that, I address it, I dive into it, I address it accordingly, give myself love and compassion. I rest a little bit more. But what gives me sort of that sense of drive is being on this show, or shifting my focus from, oh my God, I'm struggling, I'm suffering right now, to, okay, how can I use this particular event or this particular cross to bear, in terms of the Christian term for that, the cross that I'm bearing right now, this internal struggle I'm going through, to help more people. And that's the meaning I give my experience. And I don't really share that with a lot of people, that how bad I actually get, because everyone thinks I'm this positive guy, which I am. And I just said a couple minutes ago that that's not me. Let me take that back. That is a part of me. I don't want to deny that that's not me. That is a part of my psyche. I have to go into that, integrate with it, address it accordingly, and be able to appreciate those downtimes. Because as I said yesterday in yesterday's podcast, in the valleys of life, that's where you grow your crop of food and vegetables and fruits, where you get to enjoy them and eat them at the top of life when you're up. So when you're up, you're up. And when you're down, you're still up, because you realize this is a part of the game of life. And I kind of went off on a tangent, but I wanted to share that I too go through tough times, personal tough times, external tough times in my business, in my life. And I just have that sense of faith and trust that what I'm doing is for the greater good. And it's not about me. It's about spreading as much love as humanly possible to the world, because we are starving for it. I mean, I just did, listen to this. I did a funeral today. Sang and played the piano at this funeral. A 32-year-old man was killed in a car accident in Mexico, a hit and run. He went to my high school. Just like, life is so short. You sit there and go, wow, that guy, I'm sure he went on vacation. He wasn't thinking that. And all of a sudden, bam, and there's that, the church was packed. And I was crying because I felt the pain of all the people that were there crying and struggling and just like, wow. And that both strengthened my drive to do it more, to help people, to give people hope and to know that they're loved. But also I didn't deny the tears. You know, and the old prophet says in the Bible, you know, there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry. And you get so wise to the point where you cry with those who cry and you laugh with those who laugh. And that's real emotional maturity. And so kind of back to your point there, Cam, I think you said it at the beginning of the show, you stay on purpose. purpose is greater than outcome. If you know why you are here and what you're committed to, all the other stuff become distractions, and you know what's important, you don't know what's important. There's going to be times when you're going to want to quit, and there's going to be times you're going to be distracted. There's going to be times when you feel like what you're doing, if you're not making any progress, but you continue anyway. And that's sort of been my journey the past, 15, 16, 17 years. But does that make sense there, Kev? Did I just go off on a tangent? Sorry.
No. I feel like either way, this was a great, good topic to talk about. But I'm nowadays noticing that almost like what you're doing in the moment is the most important thing. And how that makes you feel is the most important thing.
Yes.
Because usually I would do something because it's going to give me something later on down the road. So I would do something because it's going to make me money, or I would do something because people will like me for it. I'm going to do something because later on this will happen, you know? And rather, I've been sort of just doing what feels good. Honestly, most of my day is dedicated towards gardening. And I never, ever thought I would be the type of person who just likes yard work and gardening. But that's the majority of my day. And I think to myself, because before it would be what are you doing? Go do something important, right?
Yeah.
But I sort of analyzed why I started doing this and why I have a passion for it. And I realized that, and I don't know if I've told you this before, but I've talked to Danish about it and stuff like that. And I've said that I really want to buy a piece of land somewhere nice here in Ontario and build, learn to build cabins, learn to grow my own food and feed, 10, 15 amazing people all year
amazing
round.
Amazing.
Learn to do that effectively, because there's something about hands-on sustainable living. I'm eating what I planted. I'm sleeping under the roof that I built. Not that I paid for, but I built it. There's this emotional thing, and that excites me for some reason. So does music. I'm still writing music. So does podcasting. I'm still on this show, helping these messages get out there. But when you find yourself doing, this is just a little token, I guess, for somebody out there who has this sort of thing where they'll be doing something and they have no idea why it excites them so much. Dive into it. Ask yourself, why do I care about this? Because for me, I realize, wow, that's a big part of my life. I want to die in a cabin community that I've helped build, a sustainable sort of integration with technology and sustainable living. I want to be able to build that and leave it for generations to come. Wow. And I also, alongside that, I want to be able to spread music and messages and all this stuff with the world, and all of that is possible. But the other thing is, I've never been less lonely in my life, but I've never been more alone. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I go to sleep at night and I wake up every morning, and it's always, what am I going to do today? It's not, what are we going to do today? Yeah. Ever. It's always, what am I going to do today? And I don't know why I don't feel alone.
Yeah. You're not alone. That's the reality, right? You're never, that's the whole idea. That's the whole idea of, the flow states when subject and object become one, and that feeling of union with the Father, or union with the Holy Spirit, or union with the divine, or union with Tao, where you basically subject and object dissolve and you become one with what you're doing. And that alone is okay. I often say to people, I remember even Richard Rohr saying, or James Finley talking about how his mentor used to say to him, I want you to feed the pigs. And he'd be like, what's that going to, and his whole point was, tell me about the pigs. And if you can find joy in feeding the pigs and loving the pigs and getting to know the pigs, enjoy just the fact that you're alive and you're feeding these pigs, and just in your case, writing music for the sake of writing music, building for the sake of building, action for the sake of the action and not for the fruit of the action. I think if you can reach that stage where you're just doing it for the joy of the action, I think you are you're on your way to being self-actualized to the higher states of consciousness. Yeah.
I was sifting through my compost to find rocks, because I don't know why there was just like a bucket of rocks poured in there. But I just spent like a good hour and a half this morning just sifting through rocks, and it was a blast. And I don't know why it was a blast.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm getting to the point where it's like, I'm just having fun sifting through these rocks. Yes. The sunlight's out. It's really nice outside. I don't know.
Yes.
It's nice. And I think, I don't know, we get too carried away with like the bigger picture, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I think the bigger picture is beautiful. What are you going to do with your life? I think it's awesome. But it's like, my trajectory is so different than what it was at New Year's, let alone 2 years ago, let alone 5 years ago, you know?
Yes.
But when somebody, like, if I was to introduce myself to you and you said, hey, you know, hi Cameron, what do you do? Like, tell me about yourself. I would literally just say, I'm happy.
Very good.
Like,
very good.
Because I could tell you that I'm podcasting and I'm whatever, but if I was to say I'm happy, what kind of reaction would that get?
Would you get?
People would be like, oh, awesome. Nice. That's nice. Okay. Nice. Good for you. Because I don't need validation about my podcast. I don't need validation about my garden. I'm happy. It's not about those things. And when it is about those things, that's when it becomes exhausting.
A chore.
It's just like, I have to keep this up. Like, if it's like, tell nobody, and then at any time you could quit, and nobody will be like, hey, why'd you quit?
Exactly.
Like, don't raise any expectation out of anybody whatsoever.
And that's particularly why on the spiritual path, why Jesus even talked about how he talked about interior religiosity, not for externals. Pray by yourself. Meditate by yourself, and don't tell anybody that you're doing it, because as soon as you tell someone, then you invoke ego, you got to defend yourself, then you start looking good. Because when you go interiorly, you clean the inside of the dish of who you are, you clean it, right? There's no social payoff. There's no egoic payoff that says, the ego says, hey, I've done this, now let's tell everyone what I've done. The truly enlightened person doesn't go, look what I've done. The truly enlightened person says, look what love has done to me. Let me share this love with you and how love has transformed me. The truly enlightened, humble human being says, let me share with you the love that has transformed me, and may it literally pierce a part of you. And as Rumi says, the wound is where the light enters. And I think you're living that way. I certainly feel like I'm living that way too. And I think as we grow and we share these messages, people start to go, wow, that's what living's all about, regardless of the outcome. You know, regardless of the outcome.
Lately too, I haven't really been fixated on the way life is, because I realize that it's really only happening this way because it is the best possible outcome for me. I do believe that. I believe everything that everybody's going through is exactly what they need, whether that be good or bad. And again, that's just a belief of mine that could easily be BS. But what that gives me, that belief, gives me a way to, first of all, peace of mind. Second of all, okay, then what do I need to extract from this? Like, what is it? Let's figure this out. And I realize, okay, I'm not with a group of people who are like me. I have friends. They're amazing. But I can't wake up in the morning and build my life with them. We're just totally different, like whatever, right? So why is this happening? Why did I choose? And I do believe I chose everything that's happening. Why did I choose this path of like being by myself? Yeah. And I think it's because I need to learn how to be self-reliant, completely self-reliant, how to make my own decisions, and how to be myself amongst a crowd of people who are not like me. Because many times, and you know this, it's just obvious, you get into a group of people who aren't like you, you start to be like them. You start to change your opinions for them. Yes. You start to whatever, right? Yeah. I think the moment I went vegan and the moment I quit my band, those are the two things that, like, okay, you are now going against the grain of everyone around you, friends and family, all encouraging you to play music. You're stopping music. You're taking a break from this. That's powerful. Every 98% of the population eating animal products, you're deciding not to. So I've had a few years of sort of branching off. And I think what that whole few years has done to me is brought me to this point where I could care less who accepts me. I feel so accepted by my plants. Like I planted from seed a few weeks ago, and and my animals, like those are like the most accepting people in my life. Because
if you can find, and you know what the truth is, if you can find God in those things, you can find God in a blade of grass. You can find God in virtually any moment of your life. And I think that's the most important thing. And I think as we wrap up here, if you look at life, I think what we've talked about today, what we've basically explained there, Cam, from the heart, from your heart and soul, that I would rather be loathed for who I am than loved for who I'm not, and live authentically and genuinely and honor my path. So kudos to you, Cam, for being young and vibrant and on the path to self-actualization and beyond. So I'm sure you're going to help a lot of young people your age and younger. And I've already said this, one other client of mine, I'm going to give you his number, or I'm going to get him to call you as well so you could mentor him and pay it forward. So ladies and gentlemen, leaders and healers, thank you for joining us on the show. It was a wonderful discussion, Cam. You took this one over, man. Applause to you, my friend. You've grown so much. God bless you guys to your continued upgrade and evolution. Live it up with power, purpose, and passion.